whether it's sports, tech, or other industries, I think globally the eyes are all spot on Middle East for now. The main objective of our event is to bring the right audience and the right people and the right stakeholders together. Because at the end of the day, you know, separate initiatives here and there will be nice, interesting, but it will not help the region to position itself as a region overall, as an attractive region to bring, the investments and the expertise to move and relocate to the region.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We are continuing our month of our focus of sports tech in the Middle East. We had a great episode with the startup founder last week, and today we're talking to Malik Shishtawi, who is the founder and CEO of Mangosteen, an event company, or actually much more than that, as Malik will tell us, who have been hosting the Arab Sports Tech Forum. And, well, this year it's going to be the Arab Sports Tech and Gaming Expo. They've been doing this since last year. And, I've got Malik here on the show to tell us all about it. Welcome to the show, Malik.
Thank you, my dear, and thank you for hosting me today. And I look forward to share a lot of interesting information with your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to hear it. I mean, for us as Sports Tech X, we're always curious what's happening in the world of sports tech, to see different regions come up and to see more interest in the Gulf region. We've seen, obviously, with Qatar, after the World Cup, there was Qatar Sports Tech, which has been around for a few years, but it seems to be expanding beyond that. As Abu Dhabi and Dubai and, of course, Saudi Arabia take sports more seriously, there is more investment in sports technology. So while we were doing our research, we came across your event, and events are great because they bring the region together. So before we get to the Arab Sports Tech Forum, I always want to know about the person behind the initiative, Malik. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what brought you to the stage of setting up, let's say, an event in sports tech for the region.
Yes. So in a nutshell, you know, it all started with your initial passion. And my passion was always the internet and the connectivity when it was in early stages. So I started using the internet back in 1997 when it was too early. So this gave me the privilege of witnessing, if you want, the revolution here in the region. For many startups that started small, and then we witnessed them being acquired by huge global brands who wanted to come into the region. And then, you know, the whole thing of digital transformation started to show up, and people realizing the importance of digital transformation. And it is not only an IT thing. It's beyond that, the Internet of Things, how every industry can benefit of technology and automation to enhance that industry. So the very first event started when, if you want, the social media revolution thing started, where people wanted to understand more how to utilize social media for businesses beyond just the personal use. And at that time, I got my diploma from Sweden in social media, and then I came back to the region. I wanted to launch a consultancy firm when it comes to social media. I realized that there is a big gap in the region, so I launched the first Arab Social Media Forum back in 2010 to educate if you want, the market and the industry. And I can tell you that I felt so proud when I realized later this is an event that we organized in six different countries with eight different editions. I'm proud to tell you now that some of the people who attended the first edition as hobbyists, freelancers, now are taking huge positions in big international companies as either head of digital or head of social media. And this brings a great pleasure to me that we achieved, you know, or accomplished our mission of enhancing knowledge and transferring knowledge in a specific industry. Later, we witnessed that, you know, it became above, you know, just information technology and marketing, where we were talking about only the revolution of platforms like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all these platforms. Specific industry technology started appearing, and then we started hearing more about specific industry tech. So edutech, fintech, sports tech, biotech or health tech, and you name it. So they started having more like a niche focus on a specific industry with a technology impact on that industry and how we can use technology to enhance and develop that specific industry. And since my background is, again, digital transformation, I had the good ability to understand how we can link the dots, if you want to call it, and bring together, again, expertise. And then we were also proud to put together a first edition of the Arab FinTech Forum back in 2021, which was directly after the pandemic. And it was a lot of events happening as webinars and online conferences, but it was a first as a physical, you know, event where we had big names like Visa, Qatar Financial Center, QDB or Qatar FinTech Hub, Hyperpay, other big companies, you know. And then it was a big success. So we wanted to keep this mission on. So this year, inshallah, we're organizing a second edition that is much bigger with involving of exhibition and awards ceremony. And finally, we realized that we are based in Qatar, where it's a country in the Gulf trying to position itself as a sports hub. And we always noticed the huge, potential of sports tech, esports, and gaming in the region. And we thought, yes, that's a perfect. We have Qatar, a country that pushes itself as a sports hub. We have World Cup happening in the region here, mainly from Qatar. So it's the perfect time to launch the Arab Sports Tech Forum and get to benefit out of the people who are coming to Qatar to participate in providing technology to the World Cup. And yeah, we were lucky to have companies like La Liga, for example, because La Liga, they have La Liga Tech. A lot of people, they don't know La Liga is not just the football thing. They have their own sports tech arm, and they're investing a lot in it, which is called La Liga Tech. We had very nice, interesting companies discovered in Qatar. Like, for example, we were talking, me and you, before we start, about Sponix, proudly launched in Qatar, focusing on augmented reality usage in broadcasting for sports. And they did a huge, interesting work with international leagues, including also a work with FIFA, and a lot of the very interesting cases. Not to forget also the academic part of the sports tech. So we had researchers from Qatar University telling us about DNA and how it can be used in discovering talented players even before we know they are talented. Very, very interesting topics. So based on the success of this first edition, we said, yes, this is going to be worth it expanding. So this year, hopefully, inshallah, end of November, we're expanding, as you mentioned in the intro, the profile. So it's not anymore Arab Sports Tech Forum, but it's Arab Sports Tech and Gaming Expo. So it's going to be a big expo, international level participation as exhibitors and audience, in addition to the forum itself as part of the expo parallel. And then we also aim at launching a gaming competition online, where it will end up with a finale physically at premises of the venue to make it an interesting closing of the event.
Sounds exciting, Malik. Grand plans. Just to be clear, so the first edition was held last year in September, which yes. is what you described, where you had some companies like Sponix. It's funny you mentioned them. Of course, we were talking about it before. They were on the first episode. I've known Mohammed for a while of this, our focus of sports tech in the region. So glad to see this ecosystem coming together. So you did the first event, which was a forum. Again, a great place to start bringing people together. And this year, you're thinking of it in a bigger way. also gives me a reason to believe that, as you said, the region, not just Qatar, but the region is taking sports and sports tech more seriously. My question to you there is, what is the legacy after the World Cup? Is this something that Qatar will continue to invest in? Do you believe that you will continue to see more either public or private funding in the sports tech area? And what about the surrounding countries, Saudi and the UAE, of course, are the two prominent ones. But do you see this trend going across across the Middle East, across the Gulf region?
Yes, indeed. I think this is something not hidden. It's not a secret. Whether it's sports, tech, or other industries, I think globally the eyes are all spot on Middle East for now. There is a huge revolution that's happening when it comes to innovation, entrepreneurship, and investing in, if you want, non-carbonic industries. It started with UAE maybe, yes, some time ago, but now a lot of countries are following the track. Qatar is doing a great job, whether it's sports tech, fintech, or ICT, smart cities in general. Saudi is coming on the track strongly with a very fast rhythm, if you want to call it. I was in Saudi last February for a quick business visit to discuss the potential of participation, and I realized that if it comes to sports tech in specific, there is huge interest in the gaming part of it, the esports part of it. You know, the Saudi Esports Federation, they allocated a massive fund. There is teams in esports in Saudi that is now planned to compete on international level, not just on a local or regional level. So the investment is huge. The potential is massive. I think what we need to do, and this is the main objective of our event, is to bring the right audience and the right people and the right stakeholders together. Because at the end of the day, you know, separate initiatives here and there will be nice, interesting, but it will not help the region to position itself as a region overall, as an attractive region to bring the investments and the expertise to move and relocate to the region. So our mission is to not to do it only on a local limited level. We want to bring all of these people together, to talk together, to create a bigger initiatives, to create a kind of an action plan, to come back with if you want to call it, recommendations. What is needed, whether it was on a regulations level, whether it was on an investment directions level to educate, you know, because there is a lot also of investors in the region. And this is not only related to sports tech, but in other tech firms in general. Typical kind of investors who are more into stock and real estate, they need to be educated more about disrupting, you know, industries and promising investments beyond conventional investments of real estate and stock exchange. So this is our mission.
That is a great point that you bring up, because I guess what you're trying to say is trying to get people to invest in new areas such as startups, is maybe in this sector, sports tech startups. So How do they get involved in your event? Do you have like a startup competition, or do you have, just as you said before, do you just bring up some good companies as speakers? How do you interact with startups from the region and help them promote, maybe connect them to investors? And B, what is your feeling of startups in the region? Because I think one challenge that we've always heard about from startups in the region is that the local audiences, maybe the market is not very big, or they have some challenges growing to scale and they have to look internationally. But maybe now that trend is also changing as the local audiences take sport more seriously. So what is your belief, A, on how startups are involved in the event, and B, what is the potential to scale for these companies?
I think startups, and I will confirm what you just mentioned, startups definitely facing challenges in the region, because whether we want to be honest with ourselves or not, but sometimes the truth is ugly, we still need time to reach to a level where we have these risk takers, the angel investors and the VCs who are seeing, if you want, the long-term potential. They see what these startups stands for and what they are capable of doing, rather than just seeing a very, very straightforward numbers forecast. I mean, sorry to say it, but people invested in Twitter before knowing how they will generate revenue.
Any revenue, yeah.
They had multiple rounds of funding, and until a very late stage, they didn't know even how they will generate revenue. Name it other also startups in the West. So I think we need to educate investors on having a passion. Like, I believe that business is business and money is money and money talks. We have no doubt. But also, I think the investors who are into investing in these because they believe in these startups is more important than just an investor who invests in this because he look at it as only, you know, numbers and calculations. Because with this, that come, I think. Once you invest in it because you believe in it, then your investment becomes not only money. It becomes mentorship. It becomes connections. It becomes different kind of support, you know. And this is what really takes a startup to another level. But only simplifying it, startups looking only for from someone who doesn't see anything in the startup rather than how much money they will make in the first year, will take us nowhere. So this is something that I know this could be an ugly truth, but we without pinpointing what we need to enhance and improve, we cannot go nowhere. So we need to be honest with ourselves, highlight what needs to be improved so we can move on and move forward. This is, I think, the main challenge. Also, one advice that I will also give to a lot of startups, and I think I figured it out myself in some of my projects. Sometimes a startup, they have a very, 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 very competitive and good offering, whether it's a service or a product. And they limit themselves with waiting only for the funding to go and sell. I heard it in one of the investment sessions in one of the events, and I keep remembering it. Your best investor is yourself. Like, when you try to go and sell, and then you generate yourself a revenue, instead of you going to convince someone to invest in you, they will come to you because they could see the potential of you doing it without needing them. You get me? Even your negotiation becomes completely different because you're not going to ask someone to help you kick, but that the conversation will be different. You want to scale up, you want to expand, and then yes, we can negotiate. Always your negotiation is weaker when you count on someone to completely kick off your startup. So if you really have a unique selling product or service, go talk to your audience. Go talk to your prospects, potential clients. Try to seal a deal yourself. You may realize later that, you know what? I don't even need a startup. I don't even need an investor. I can fund it myself. Let me do it this way and continue. So I think both ways we need to educate them about these things, and hopefully things will move, inshallah, in the region in a better direction.
That's a great point, because I think that's something that we talk about, especially in the investor circles, the difference between smart money and dumb money. Because basically money just for the sake of money, which is not bringing anything else, is not really helping a startup. A smart money investor will, as you outlined, will bring them connections, bring them network, bring them expertise, bring them all those things. So great to see that. Maybe, first of all, there is awareness, that there is a clear distinction between the two. And yes, I also take your point that it takes time for a traditional investor, traditional mindset to come to this, let's say, more modern outlook. So that's fair. And as a let's say, region is transforming its own mindset on business, it takes time for this to happen.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Coming back to my first part, so you've outlined wonderfully how startups can improve in the region. How can they participate in your event? Maybe not just startups from the region, but also international startups who are interested in coming into the region.
So in the first edition, to be honest, it was a humble involvement where we were starting the event, so we wanted to test the water. So the involvement was mainly a discussion panel allocated for startups to share their challenges and discuss the opportunities with them. And it was very insightful. We were able to hear about very, very interesting startups. I will tell you more about it in the next part of the discussion, where you will not believe that these even exist here in the region. But what we're planning to do now in the next edition is a bit beyond that. Since we have the exhibition element, we want definitely to consider having startups participating in that expo, showcasing their products and services to the audience. Definitely a matchmaking initiative would be considered, and me knowing from you about SportsTech X involvement also in that part could be something that we will collaborate on. I would love to launch a kind of a investor startup matchmaking platform through our platform, since all of them will be there, investors will be there to know more about new startups, and then startups will be there to feature. So maybe we'll do like a kind of a chance for these startups to present and pitch for these investors. Definitely, we want to put the startups with the investors and also the startups with the stakeholders. So the ecosystem, when they talk to each other, definitely it's a bigger opportunity to help the startups overcome their challenges.
It sounds super interesting. And yeah, if we can be a part of it to help, why not? Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked a lot about startups. We talked about the challenges. What are the trends that are coming up, or sectors that y'all are looking at and saying, hey, those are the opportunities that we truly believe in? I think you made a reference just now that there are some exciting things that you're working on.
Yes, to be honest with you, definitely a lot of people, especially who are not into details of this, they limit sports tech into very high-level terms like esports, for example, and gaming. Definitely, these are very interesting areas, but there is much, much bigger to talk about when it comes to the research and technology of sports and sports tech. So as I told you in the intro, there was this professor from Qatar University, Dr. Muhammad, who shared, for example, a very interesting research they did about genes and ability to know a potential talented player even when they are like in a very, very young age before being explored, if you want, in the typical way. We also have
like DNA analysis.
Yes, actually also it goes beyond. It goes also to genetics. So it's even beyond that. Also, we had experts from Aspire Academy telling us about what kind of tracking systems and tools they're using to analyze the performance of players, which was all, in the old days, using the eye of a coach who's just looking at your moves and trying to analyze it manually. Now everything is on your dashboard, the full body tracking and performance tracking, which is again very impressive. We had one, I would call it a noble invention or innovation related to also sports tech and esports or gaming, which was a solution, a hardware made by Ali, who was one of our speakers, for blind people. So imagine giving the chance to blind people to enjoy gaming and games.
Wow.
This itself, for example, when I introduced this guy in through our event, I was very, very proud, because it also shows that it's not only business, it's not only fun. Sometimes there is a noble cause, you know, there is an added value. There is something that we can offer to the community, people who are not able to enjoy, giving them the pleasure of, you know, experiencing something that we could, they could not, you know, experience before, is something definitely worth working hard for. So when it comes to what's new, we want to, as I told you, to add more topics. So sports tech, we may go also into more technologies, advanced technologies that is existing and people need to know more about. The esports element, we're focusing, as I told you before, more on the esports teams and esports content, and if you want the playing part of it. Now we're collaborating with a very famous game development company in Jordan. I wouldn't announce now because it's still under finalization, the agreement with them. But it is a very, very solid and long time ago established company for game development and mobile game development, with a very, very strong access in this area in the region. That they had their own also academy to launch or help the country launch a new generation of game developers. So this is, for example, we have a collaboration with them to bring this topic also on board, to bring gaming also, because, you know, this is a massive also industry that brings a huge employment opportunity for markets that needs to employ people. You get me? So, and I'm sure you heard about the massive latest acquisition deal of the Swedish gaming company that acquired Jawaker, a gaming company from Jordan, for a huge, one of the biggest acquisition deals. Wow. So the potential is massive. There is the manpower, there is the talents. It's just about connecting again the dots. So we want to bring these people with the right stakeholders and the right audience to create more initiatives and transfer this knowledge from one country to another in the region, which definitely will help in overall mission of positioning the MENA region as a leading sports tech and esports hub, inshallah.
And that's why events like this are so important, because that's where one place, at least this is one thing that I've understood for events, and also why we do series like this, is that when you bring it together in one place, then not just from the region, of course it helps, but even outside the region, people have one place that they can come to or collect the information, get a sense of what is happening. Some great points you brought up there. Even, for example, the gaming app for the blind. I remember I had Wildcard Ventures, Maher Reed, on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about Action Audio, which is a development by Tennis Australia with the, I think, Monash University, where they're helping blind people watch tennis just using audio cues. And so there is so much interesting technology that we can use, as you said, not just for business, but for doing social good as well. And great to see more impetus in the region. All right, Malik, we're going to talk about what's next for you guys. Abhi, you already mentioned that this forum will happen in November. Is there anything leading up to that, or anything beyond the expo, I should say, not forum, anything beyond the expo that you want to talk to us about?
Again, I think I would love to take this opportunity to reach out to your audience. Your audience definitely is our target audience, again, because they are people who are interested in sports tech and relevant industries or sectors. We believe in partnerships. You could realize that, I think, from what we discussed before the podcast. We believe in partnerships. We believe in the value and the value that we can bring, and the quality that we can achieve with the right partners and the right people. So we are open to any initiatives, any recommendations, any suggestions. We consider this platform as a platform for everybody in the industry. Anybody who wants to be involved, whether it's an individual or a company, anybody who can add a value, if we can help in any way, we are more than happy to support. If someone can help us also in any way, definitely help is also great. We try our best to create things. At the end of the day, we are not a huge organization. We are also, if you want to consider it a startup, we are also a startup in our own way. Everybody is trying to bring value in their own way. And we believe in what we're doing. We never create events only for financial or commercial purpose. And we always do our events even if we generate $0. So we are committed, we are responsible, we have a message that we want to deliver, and we are welcoming anyone who believes in our mission to come on board in whatever format they think they can add value with. We're looking forward to hear from all of your audience. I'm sure you will share my info, my contact, my LinkedIn. Feel free to reach out to me, and I look forward to hearing from all of them.
Yeah, perfect. And this is exactly why we invited you on the show as well, to give you a chance to connect with our audience and see where synergies might come up. If you want people want to reach out to you, I think LinkedIn is the best place. You can reach find Malik Shishtawi, M-A-L-I-K-S-H-I-S-H-T-A-W-I on LinkedIn. We'll also share his links and coordinates in the episode notes. All right, Malik, that is basically the episode done. I have one question left for you, which is my favorite question to ask, which is, basically, I like to believe we're all sports fans first. So what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one you participated in as a fan or maybe in even as an athlete yourself? I can't wait to hear.
Favorite sporting moment?
Yeah.
Honestly, I was lucky to be here in Qatar during World Cup.
Yeah, I thought as much. It had to be something around the World Cup, of course. Well, you went to the final.
I was lucky to be here. You know, I came to Qatar 10 years ago when announcing the World Cup was just recent. And then people started telling me, Malik, you are lucky, you'll attend the World Cup. And I was telling them, 10 years, God knows where I will be. So I'm not sure I will be in Qatar. I was blessed that I was still in Qatar. Honestly, I have the commitment to say it's a very, very friendly, family-friendly country. I'm here with my family for the past 10 years. It's a peaceful. We enjoy our stay in Qatar. I was blessed to spend this time in Qatar. I was blessed to be here during the World Cup. And I was lucky to attend one of the, I think, craziest matches in the World Cup, which was the Saudi match against Argentina.
Oh, wow. And that was the opener. Incredible.
Yes. And as much as I love Messi, you know, my pride as a half Arab person, because I'm half Arab, half Bosnian. So the Arab blood in me wanted to have that pride of an Arab team doing this big achievement. So they were like asking me before the match, who do you think will win? And I was telling them Saudi. And they told me, but Messi. I told them, you never know. There is always an exception. And they were laughing. You know, they took me like sarcastic, you know. And then when Saudi won, I was like, you know, I was...
There you go.
Yeah, so happy. It was, I think, a glory moment that we enjoyed, maybe not for long because they didn't continue the track. But at least for that, if you want a half an hour or 1 hour after the match, that feeling, I don't think I will feel again like that in my life. It's not a moment that is easy to be repeated.
It's a great one that you bring up. I've had guests on the show talk about the World Cup. Of course, it was this incredible moment and a lot of people bring up the final. But that match that you talked about, I remember watching it, and especially the reactions after the match, you really felt that everybody, not just the Saudis, everybody in the region really took a lot of nationalist pride. Like there was a patriotic element to, you know, a Gulf country has gone and beaten an international team. And later you found out they didn't just beat a team. They beat the eventual winners.
And if you allow me, this brings me to, sure. to a very important point on the mission of the World Cup. I know that maybe a lot of educated people in the West, such as your good self and your audience and a lot of other people that are aware of our region and the capabilities of the region and the right or correct image of the region. But at the end of the day, we cannot deny that there is also a big number of people who have the wrong message or the wrong image about the region and the people in this region. And I believe that the biggest achievement, the biggest win was not the World Cup or the team who won the World Cup. It was the ability to show world what, you know, a small country in this region that a lot of people underestimate could deliver. And also these teams which played really good, whether it was Saudi, Morocco or Tunisia, all of these amazing teams, I think they did very, very good job in delivering or representing, if you want, the region and make us feel pride regardless of the final result. If you allow me to conclude with this statement.
That's a great way. And a note of optimism for the region as well. Thank you, Malik, so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your message. As we said before, if you want to reach out to Malik for anything related to Sports Tech in the region, maybe attend the event, participate in the expo, feel free to reach out to him on LinkedIn or via his email, which we'll drop in the show notes. Thanks, Malik, for being on the show.
Thank you, my dear. Appreciated. Thank you for hosting me. And I look forward to continue our discussion on how also to involve Sports Tech X reports and other initiatives in our platform, inshallah.
I look forward to it. We definitely have to do that. All right, guys, that's a wrap for another episode. We're going to continue our series with some investors and other initiatives from the region. So stay tuned for another week. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.